realms of Senith.
There's some soldiers that are on the perimeter of that temple, but nobody actually went in while all of you were setting up camp and everything. People have come in and out of your camp, just making sure everything's okay, dealing with wounds, asking for small favors here and there. Amir's taking care of most of this for the party so that you can get your long rest in. But nothing really eventful happens during the camping, and you manage to get all of your spell slots and everything back. But it's the next day now, and the latest reports from, you know, across the street, essentially from where you are camped out, is that the temple looks pretty deserted. Like, they're not seeing movement inside any of the windows they can see in. Nothing's come in and out of the doorways, and they are wondering how you want to proceed and if you are ready to.
So what exactly are options for, like, how to proceed?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, they say that they were going to scout it out, but you suggested that you wanted to do it yourselves in the morning, as I understand it, anyways.
We could send Falir in first.
Okay. If your character says it out loud, Falir has a few things to say about that, possibly.
Oh, what does he have to say?
That's not in my contract.
Why do you think that?
Where does it say I have to go in by myself, alone, into a temple with a mummy lord?
First.
Not by myself, just for... So you're coming too? Oh, okay.
I'll be behind you. Right, guys?
Yeah, we'll just use him as a shield. No, I'm just kidding.
Or are you?
He kind of grunts. Sorry?
I said...
Or are you?
Yeah, I said, are you just kidding? Are you sure you're just kidding? Are you absolutely sure?
As I'm not in immediate danger right now.
You know, we could sort of carefully open the doors and check for traps.
Nope.
Take some soldiers with us.
All right, so Falir approaches, or starts to leave the camp, and he says, are all of you ready then?
Sure.
All right, so he starts heading towards the temple. He goes up to the large stone doors at the front of it. I believe you've already been in the temple previously. This is where he had that feast with them. So he just goes to the door, kind of peeks in and looks about, and he turns back and he kind of motions to the party that it looks clear at the moment. He says, I don't see anything. I don't see anybody. And then he starts heading in. He has his bow out and he has an arrow knocked already. So he looks,
that seems like a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. Aravon will follow.
Right. From the doorway, you see him kind of start walking in past some of the pillars that are, in this building. It's a very tall room, this part anyways. You see him, Aravon, start just kind of looking around as well as he can everywhere. And you yourself, you're not actually seeing anything. This place looks, I don't want to say it looks clean and well kept because it's a ruined temple, but you don't see anything completely out of place here. Like, nothing that would be evidence that there's someone here now.
So it's ruined now? It wasn't when we were here the first time, was it?
Well, it's like an old temple. I guess I shouldn't have said ruined, but it's not in the best condition. There are holes in the walls here and there, but it's nothing that would like stand out to you as, yeah.
It's just old.
Yeah.
You roll like was it perception or investigation something?
What are you looking for exactly?
Traps, anything
okay.
Out of place, interesting.
Looking for traps and everything would be investigation.
Okay. Well, I got a 2.
Seems so fine to you.
Something in my eye.
I suppose Aravon will look for traps as well. Got a 19 total.
All right. And this, the main chamber of this temple, you're not seeing anything that looks trapped. There are a couple doors that you can see. I think you know one of them leads to like a kind of like a small hallway with several bedrooms off from it. I believe you actually stayed there.
Yeah.
At one point. But the other doorway you never went through, and that's in the back of the hall or the room here, completely opposite from the entrance, and it's off to the side a bit.
So there is, just to clarify, there's no traps in the room or on the doors or anything, right?
No, as you walk around the room, you're not seeing anything that looks like a trap to you.
All right. Erevan will say that it looks all clear.
Finir says, well, there's nobody in this area, so do we continue on?
Yeah, I think we should head to that back door.
Yeah, I suppose so.
All right. He checks the door again, just to be certain for his part. He doesn't spend too long on it, but he eventually starts like pushing the door open a little bit and eventually reveals to the party that there's a stairway that goes down. This immediately heads straight down, and it's a long stairway. It looks like it might even go to another, the lower level here.
Should we proceed then?
He starts to.
Erevan will follow. Alrighty. With his great sword in hand.
Well, you see him kind of stopped on the stairs and watching to make sure you're actually following. And when he sees that you are, he continues on. So at the bottom of this stairway, at the landing, the room opens up quite a bit. It looks like instead of just like being a building down here, it leads to like the whole level, essentially, for the height of the room. So this is looking like a 20-foot high ceiling in this room. It's not a wide room. It's just really tall, like unreasonably tall. It looks almost ridiculous. It's
probably like all those golems.
We could stack ourselves on each other and still fit in here.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Oddly tall.
It'd be really hard to change the light bulb.
So at the other end of this rather small but tall room, there's a couple of stone doors, and they're very massive. They have a bunch of carvings on them, and Finir starts approaching it to look at it.
I also want to look at it. What does it say?
As you approach, Finir says to you, "This, can you read Dwarvish? This looks like it's Dwarvish."
Erevan can read Dwarvish.
Oh, then you should read it. Tell us what it says.
And Erevan reads the Dwarvish.
Erevan, you see that the main inscription on here says only those who prove their worth may enter.
Erevan will communicate this to the rest of the party. Sounds a little bit creepy, so probably should be just a slight bit careful around here.
These doors are very ancient. There are a lot of other inscriptions on here. Some of them you can read, but they don't look particularly relevant at the moment. Most of it looks like it's just recounting Dwarvish feats and battles, just generally Baendur's history, but from the perspective of, feats that would include like gathering large amounts of gold. Like one of those stories is about a dragon that was slain and the hoard that was recovered from that dragon and brought to here by the dwarves of old. But that's the general theme you find from it.
Does it want us to be bringing gold through the doors to be, how did they put it, to prove ourselves?
Veneer says, well, I have a couple gold pieces.
Are we sure it's gold, though?
Nope, not sure.
Can I, like, investigate the room, see if there's any more clues?
Yeah, you can spend, you can spend time looking through the room. I won't have you roll for it because the walls are pretty bare. You're not, and fairly smooth. Like, you can see that there's definitely dwarven craftsmanship in here. Evidence of it anyways. And the sconces that are a bit high on the wall, to Alita's point about changing light bulbs, you're not seeing anything particularly odd about them, other than they're just not lit at the moment.
We have to figure out how to change the light bulbs.
Well, I guess we gotta figure out how many golems does it take to change a light bulb.
Where are all the golems anyway? This is strange.
I think they went deeper, right?
Yeah, they returned to where they came from once you recovered that Armorin got the control rods.
Well, we could just try the door.
We'll have the test dummy do that.
Yeah, Falir, you said you have some gold coins.
Falir takes out some gold coins and looks at him for a minute, and he's like looking around at the door, and he like tries to push it into the crack of the door, and the door starts to like open. as soon as he touches it.
So does it seem like it was the coins that made that happen?
I wouldn't think you'd be, or Lita would be sure of that, but Fenir seems to be. He kind of shrugs and he's like, oh, well, these coins are, well, I proved my worth. Mm-hmm. There's a, eventually the doors open to a dark chamber ahead. This is just as tall as the room you're currently in, but this is much wider. This looks like a massive version of that temple that you just were in, like with pillars and columns, but they're much larger. These ones are very intricate as well with carvings, and you can actually see that there's a stone statues of what looks like dwarven warriors. They're pretty well intact, and they don't seem to have suffered the same degradation that most of the city has. In the center of this room, from a distance, you can see that there's a pedestal with a bowl sitting on it. So sorry, what?
Do the statues move?
No, right now they don't appear to be in motion.
Do they appear to be capable of motion?
Well, that's a good question.
Can I find out? Would I be able to find out?
How would you go about that?
I don't know. I guess looking at it to see if it moves. I don't know.
Go ahead and roll a perception check.
See if there's any magic attached to it. I don't know. 17 naturally?
Okay, you said so that's perception? Probably like a 20. Yep.
17 plus 6, so yeah, 20 and then some.
It's pretty good. So you're staring at this one of the statues for a while and just waiting for any sign of it moving. It's perfectly still without some kind of arcane way to look at, look for magical effects on these statues. You're not seeing anything. Veneer says, should I go in?
I kind of think I should like summon some beasts first. I don't know. Seems kind of sketchy. We've been fine for this long.
You can shapeshift too.
Can you give me one moment? I need to go check on Roxy real quick.
Sure.
I still have my headset on though, so if you have questions, I just can't respond. All right, I'm back. Are we going in?
Sure.
Me first, I suppose.
Erevan will go with him, like at the the front of the group or whatever.
All right. Come again.
Animals first.
You're gonna summon animals first?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what. I'm trying to find the ones for the ones I did last time. I think I'll just do those again. The
Oh, the wolf? The wolf or something?
Yeah, and the what was the other one? The hyena.
Okay, sorry. I have a link for you. I'll send it to you. I'll post it into Dyson Info. That might be the wrong hyena though, as I'm looking at it.
I think I found it.
Might be a giant hyena you're looking for, though.
Oh, maybe.
Someone's challenge rating of 0. Mm-hmm. There you go. There's the one with the challenge rating 1.
Okay. All right. I found it. Cool. Thanks.
All right. So you summon those two creatures.
Yeah.
All right. Erevan and Fenir. Oh, I keep forgetting if that's the pronunciation. I need to write it down. I think it's Fenrir, right?
Fenir? You did Fenir. Write it somewhere. It's in role play.
Oh, thank you. And so Fenir starts in towards that pedestal in this room. As you approach this pedestal, Erevan, with Fenir, you see that this pedestal also has dwarven inscriptions on it. This one says, only those who know the order of things may enter.
Whoa, is that druids?
Continuing to look, Erevan, you see that there's several symbols on this pedestal. Kind of near the bowl, there's 6 of them. You see one for earth, air, fire, water, light, and darkness.
Ooh. Would I know anything about what it means? Would I be able to tell anything about what it means?
You could roll a knowledge history check if you'd like.
No, I got a 4 and I don't have any bonuses in history.
So I do have a bonus in history. I've got the feature researcher. I don't know. Like when you attempt to learn or recall a piece of lore, if you do not know that information, you often know where and from whom you can obtain it. So I suppose if that way of obtaining it isn't close by, that might be difficult. But just roll a history, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, well, it's still only 11.
All right. So you know that to dwarves, there's a lot of lore about the elements and their importance in Dwarvish lore and their mythos.
So, I mean, it seems like we need to put something in these bowls that fits with each one, right? I'm thinking like fifth element here, but we need to do it in a specific order.
Well, what's the first bowl? Are they in like a particular order or is it like in a circle or?
There is one bowl, but it's on the pedestal near the bowl are these six symbols.
Okay.
And they appear to be arranged pretty randomly. There's no obvious pattern to them.
So what if we put like some like scraps of leaves or something in the bowl for like earth, and then like we light it on fire for fire, and then we like, does anyone have produce water? Do we have any water? Then we could put it out by putting water on it, and the smoke would be the air from the fire. So
okay, I can produce light.
I can produce flames.
What is darkness going to be?
When the fire goes out. Fires produce light. I don't know. I didn't work that far, but I figured it would work.
I mean, that sounds pretty good. I wonder what'll happen if it's the wrong order.
I don't know. It seems like the ritual that goes here. I don't know. I don't know what else it could be.
Okay. All right. So that's earth. It'd be earth, fire.
Air, water.
Well, okay.
Air, light, water, darkness. There we go.
Okay. Right. All right. Should we give it a try?
Sure. I don't know. Unless someone else has a better idea. I don't have any other ideas.
So, what do you try first?
I guess the only plan we got. Or we could try to just use the door, since that seemed to work last time.
Well, let me know what you do. Are you going to go try to use the door? I guess I didn't even describe the door that's on the other side of this pedestal, beyond this pedestal. That one looks huge. And it looks like one door. It is probably about 15 feet wide. And it's just as tall as this level. Villiers says, well, if we can't figure out how to open that door the way it's supposed to be open, we might have to find a different way into this dungeon.
Yeah. We can just try the thing then. Does somebody have water? I don't have water. I know that for sure.
I mean, surely we've got to be carrying
I've got water
around with us, right?
Yeah, I've got some water. Here we go.
All right, let's
put some on there.
I'll find some leaves or something and put it in the bowl. And summon flames or whatever produce flames on the leaves.
All right, so I understand what's the actions that are happening. Alita, did you pour the water into the bowl?
Right, to put out the flame. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we had this all figured out. The earth and then the fire with wind, right? Or was it like earth, wind,
fire? Well, the fire and the earth produce smoke, which would represent the air, and
okay.
The fire also produces light, which would represent the light, and then when you pour the water on the fire, it erases the fire, and it's darkness now. So that's how I incorporated all the elements in this ritual idea thing that I have to open this door.
All right, so you're starting with earth, diamond. Okay, so you put the earth in, and then you
started fire. Yeah,
started the leaves on fire.
Yeah.
All right. As soon as you light the fire in there, the symbol for fire starts to glow a bit, and the sconces that were in the hallway behind you start to light up, and several other torches and sconces that are all lining this wall start lighting up as well.
Okay, what if I blew on it? Does that give it air? Does that give it the
No, the symbol does not light up when you blow on it.
Damn, I tried. Okay. What if I put some dirt on it? Because the earth one didn't light up, did it?
No, it did not.
Okay, so what if I put some dirt on it? Just like sprinkle in some dirt.
All right, so as you sprinkle in some dirt, the fire symbol goes out, and so do the sconces.
Damn. Okay. I'm going to light it back on fire.
There's a lot of clicking that you hear happening around you in the walls.
Oh, no. What did the clicking do? Can I investigate that before I keep going?
As Diamond and definitely Filir look around, the sounds are like echoing in this chamber. So you can't actually tell where they're coming from, or in or what's actually happening.
So the room doesn't seem to be getting smaller. There's no weird shit going on.
Not too weird. without measuring the roof or anything at the moment, it doesn't appear to be moving yet.
Okay, well, I'm going to measure that so I can tell.
Erevan, I think... Oh, actually, Diamond, you were there too. You both do get a perception check.
Nope.
Okay, nope for Diamond.
Hold on.
Wait, no, I want a perception check. I said dope.
Oh, dope. I thought you said nope. Like, you rolled it, got really bad, and was like, nope.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead and roll.
Erevan got a 19.
What's 8 plus 6?
14.
It's better than 10.
Oh, that's 14, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Actually, Alita would have some recognition of this as well, now that I think on it. So the sounds, as they continue on for a while, you start to recognize them as possibly sounds of clockworks.
Uh-oh.
There's clockworks in the wall. Too bad my dragon's out of commission.
But other than that, nothing seems to have changed.
Okay, the clockworks are just coming to get me from the walls. Great. So I guess I'm going to keep trying then.
Filir says, I think we might have alerted some things beyond the door of our approach.
Well, we still got to open the door. Try to light the leaves on fire again.
All right. Again, the symbol for light does light up, but the color is a little bit different. Like before, it glowed with like a white hue. Now it's glowing with a bit more red.
So what if I fan the flame? Does that do anything?
No, it doesn't actually change any of the symbols or anything to that effect. All the lighting in this room has lit back up all the sconces and torches when you first lit the leaves.
Well, I figured out fire. It's your guys' turn. Good luck. I give up.
Okay, I'm back. Does that mean fire is first?
Potentially, I suppose. It's lit up. I don't know. Unless we're supposed to float a burning leaf on water. But that seems rather difficult.
So, Alita, I don't know. I don't remember when you left, but there was sounds in the room of that were kind of echoing through this chamber. You guys have determined that it's probably clockworks from the first attempt at solving this. Filir, your contracted mercenary, his comment to it was he believes that the clockworks might have been alerted to your presence from the first attempt at this pedestal.
Now that I think about it, Filir, you got any ideas? Pull some weight. Besides being the first one to go in the rooms.
He kind of looks at Diamond for a minute and he says, nah, I think we should find a different way in personally.
I could try my charm of opening.
Are there any other, like, holes in the walls or, like, ways to get around using that particular door?
Not that you can see.
Then we have to get the door open. I don't get it. I'm dumb. I feel so dumb.
Evelita, do you try your wand of opening? Or what was it?
Chime of opening?
Yeah.
Okay, let's give it a go.
All right, this time when you try to use a chime, you don't think it's worked on this big door.
Okay.
However, there is you hear like a sound from one of the statues as soon as you use the chime.
Did the statue open?
And the statue, you hear, when you look at the statue, you see one of the packs, like little pouches that are on its belt, seems to have opened.
Okay, I'm going to go see what that is. What do I see in the pouch?
You find a ring.
Okay. Do I need to investigate the ring or?
It's engraved with some ancient Elvish language.
Oh, I read Elvish. I can read it.
Diamond, what does this say?
I read it.
So it just seems like the line says, only those who leap with courage and skill may find their way.
Only those who leap with courage and skill can find what?
Their way.
Courage and skill can find their way. I tell everyone.
Erevan, do you have Arcana, like the skill?
I do.
Okay. You get a roll on this as you're thinking about what that says and looking at this ring. Sorry, what was that?
18.
18, sorry. Yeah, so you think this might be a magical ring of some sort, and your suspicions would be that it is a ring that would improve your jumping.
Interesting. I'll communicate this to the rest of the party.
Are we still in the really tall room?
You are in a second really tall room, like a huge chamber with the pedestal in the middle, a bunch of dwarven statues and pillars, and a huge door.
See everything above us, or is there some area that we can't see?
Is it like parkour? Do we have to like take the ring and jump up there and like parkour our way out?
I didn't think about that. I don't have an answer to that. I'm not going to give an answer to that. But so far as seeing everything, you don't see any ledges that Diamond's describing. The walls are really smooth in here. You can see everything. Currently, there's plenty of light because the fire symbol is currently lit up, and there's some burning leaves in the pot, or the bowl, rather. On the ceilings, you're not seeing anything other than mason work. Inscriptions on the pedestals, more dwarven history Erevan is probably currently looking at.
Yep.
Some of it, actually, Erevan, you have read in your library, or read tales about, and these inscriptions seem to be pretty close. There's a couple differences here and there, but nothing notable. This just looks like it's a more complete version of history. Like, they have these huge pedestals to put every detail on, and that seems to be what the dwarves have done.
So, can Erevan look to see if, like, it might be safe to take some of this stuff? Is that a passive thing, or do I have to like roll an investigation?
You mean like the columns and statues? They're very big.
I thought there was like books or something.
No. There's on the walls of, or not on the walls, but on the door previously, and in here on these columns in the pedestal are just engravings into the stone.
Okay, well, Erevan with Erevan will just be taking notes then, documenting some of this.
Okay, just so I can update books and stuff. Go ahead, Alita.
Well, if we put the leaves in there first, it seems like maybe earth really is first, and then fire. And then if the sconce is lit up, maybe that is our light, and maybe that's three down. Where was our list for this?
I put it into role play.
So, I mean, it could possibly be halfway there if it went that way. Earth, fire, light. And then, so last time you tried adding more earth, and I could see how that wouldn't work. So let's see if we did. I mean, we could probably put out the light with wind or water, and then we'd get darkness.
Or what if we have to have them all at the same time, though?
And the second time I put it into the roleplay channel. Air, earth, fire, water, light, and darkness. That's the current status of the symbols. The one in brackets, fire, it's currently the only symbol that's lit up.
What if before we put the water on, we cover the fire or encase the fire in like glass or something, or like put a jar over the fire. So like when we put the water on it, it doesn't go out. And maybe like it's supposed to be all of it at the same time. I don't know.
Well, I'm kind of confused by why earth wouldn't be lit up with the leaves there. And when you added the dirt, it also didn't light up, like nothing lit up.
What about stone?
Yeah, I mean, we could easily just set a stone in there. Just want to set a stone in there and see what happens.
This place is like ruined, right? So there's probably some stones lying around.
You could find one, yeah.
Erevan.
In fact, there's one.
Erevan finds like a rock or something, puts it in there.
If I make it a magic stone, like, will that be, like, lit up?
Possibly.
Like, could I make it a lit up magic stone?
I think you could put a light spell on it.
Okay. Can I do that? I want to do that.
Yeah.
I'll put a light spell on the stone.
Okay. So you put a light spell on the stone and you place it in the bowl?
Yeah.
Okay. When you place the stone into the bowl, you see the symbol for earth lights up in the same reddish glow that fire is. However, you don't see the light symbol light up.
I mean, I could try just my light cantrip. Let's see.
Actually, I'm so sorry. I'm thinking about it, and yes, actually, after a moment, the light symbol would come on.
Nice. Now we just need water, air, and darkness.
What if we had like black water?
Fillier blinks.
What does that mean?
It means he blinks.
So what, like cast darkness on the water?
I don't know. Is that a thing? I was just thinking like really murky.
Like water, dirty
like
water?
Could be like inky water or
Erevan, as you're writing down the tales that are inscribed on the stones, you find a story, a dwarven tale about elements. It's one that you have heard before, but this one seems to carry on quite a bit about what jumps out to you anyways is the order of things. In this version of the story, it's talking about oppositions.
Thing.
Sorry?
I said interesting.
So what if we put some water in a black bottle so it was completely dark in the bottle, you couldn't like see in or out, and we did something to make it like hover on wind?
What if we put the water half full in a dark bottle and put some of the smoke from the fire in the bottle too when we close it?
Okay.
I don't know if the smoke would count as air though, but
I don't know if it would either, since I mean the fire should just be making some smoke right now and that doesn't seem to.
Yeah.
Air. You would think air would just be automatic, like we're breathing the air.
Right.
You said blowing didn't do anything.
What did you blow again?
Fire.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I just sort of wave our hand at it.
You do that? You just wave your hand at it?
Some air for you.
Okay. All right, Alina just frantically starts shaking her hand from the bowl. Her hands. Eventually what happens is you see that the air does light up. But air and earth change colors to like a blue hue.
The air lights up, glow in the dark air.
The air symbol. The air yeah, symbol lights up. Sorry. I should have been more. Thank you for pointing out I was being ridiculous.
I just wait. I put this image in my head of like glow in the dark air.
So yeah, it would appear that earth and air seem to have been completed.
Oh,
so they turn blue. Okay, so the fire one is still red.
So earth and air were done at the same time. So they lit up together. So the opposites work together. So
those are opposites.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the opposite?
The opposite of fire would be water.
Water.
So we would want to protect the fire so that or the water doesn't put it out.
What if we just poured some water on it? Then they could both light up together?
But they wouldn't be together existing. Because the water would put the fire out because they're opposites.
Well, let's just put the water in a bottle. A dark bottle, like we talked about, and put it in there and see if it works.
Okay.
All right. So you put the water into a dark bottle. You place it in the bowl. You see that the symbol for water lights up, and that's the only thing that changes. It lights up the same reddish hue as fire and light.
I can make three magic stones, right? So what happens if I make another magic stone but with darkness?
I don't actually think you have that spell, but I'm not sure. Do you?
Magic stones?
No, darkness.
Darkness is actually a spell I considered getting not too long ago. I probably should have.
I don't know.
Oh, right. I wanted to get devil's sight first.
I have a heart of darkness. Does that count? Probably not.
What if we put something on top of the bowl to cover it up?
Ooh.
Is there something big enough lying around? That we could do that?
Like a plate or another bowl, the same kind of size?
Or anything, really. I mean, there's rocks lying around, right?
Yeah, if you look around, you could... Well, It's pretty heavy, but yeah, there is a rock you could probably pull out of the wall.
Aragorn's probably going to need some help because he's not particularly strong.
Or just like drape our coat, sort of puff it out and over it so it doesn't catch fire, but makes it dark inside the bowl.
All right, so yeah, you find like a shirt or something. I'm assuming, like, you find something to cover the bowl with, we'll say. All right, light and darkness turn to that blue hue as well. However, fire unlight, or not unlights, but the symbol for fire goes out. However, water stays red.
So it would seem that light and darkness go out.
Yeah, when you lift the cloak or coat or whatever you put over the bowl, you see that the fire went out.
Okay, so. What did we use to light the fire? Just the leaves.
We put
right?
a fire in a bottle. Sorry. Like, yeah. Can we put like leaves in a bottle and then light the fire in the bottle and put the lid on?
Do you think, like, I've got a bottle of wine still. Would alcohol count as water and then catch on fire because it's alcohol?
What kind of wine is that?
It's the large bottle of singing witch root wine.
It's like wine shine? Like just pure alcohol?
I mean, it could be.
All right, so I guess the party gets to watch Alita pull out a bottle of wine. She's looking at this bowl. Philia is like, thirsty?
Philia seems like the kind of guy.
You all get to listen to the.
Philia seems like the kind of guy who can understand that.
Yeah, we'll have some music while we do this.
Light the wine on fire.
That's what we're going to try.
All right.
So we can have.
Produce flame on it?
Have water and fire. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to produce flame on the wine in the bottle.
Okay. And then okay. You put.
And then we got to cover it back up again for the darkness, right? Unless that just stayed blue for some reason.
No, it stayed. When you put the cloak over it, light and darkness, the symbols for them turned to blue, okay. Like the earth and air.
But if we took the cloak back off, it didn't go away?
No, it didn't go away. Okay. It stayed blue. The only thing that went away was the fire one, but that I would assume is just because the fire went out from being covered.
Okay, so we just need more fire. So if darkness and light
alcohol,
the leaves back on fire, or should we go through with this?
Well, because
make a volatile cocktail.
The fire and the water both need to turn blue. So this seems like maybe a promising
fire
route.
Together. Yeah, okay. It seems like the fire togetherness. Gotcha. Okay. Light the alcohol. Let's go. Produce flame.
I feel like I need to make a roll happen for this so that you guys don't set yourselves on fire.
Oh, God.
So I'm trying to think of what this is. Roll a dexterity saving throw. We'll do that.
Okay.
Whoever's actually going to put the wine in and light it on fire.
Oh, not me. Please, not me. Because I just rolled a one. Not me. I'm not doing it.
Okay, so we'll all just roll, and then whoever gets the best roll is the one who's lighting it.
Totally.
Just roll the two.
Aragorn is cool here.
You got a 22.
No, what Aragorn can do with that 22 is dodge out of the way as Diamond and Alita start a massive fire.
Ninja and Aragorn are the same. This is why.
Oh my god.
All right, Alita, you take 7 points of fire damage. Diamond, you take 10. Luckily, you had a cloak out. It could have been worse if you didn't have something to pat out the flames with. However, the fire symbol on the thing lights up again because some of it did make it into the bowl.
What about the water?
The water was... in an enclosed bottle in the bowl, right?
Yeah.
Well, we had that sitting there, but then we added the wine, which would be, I mean, we'd have the wine sitting there with the fire. I mean, we just need to say that we poured it out of the bottle first before we lit it in order to say the liquid's touching the bowl. Because, I mean, I would say, like, the water in the bottle last time lit up and still wasn't actually touching the bowl, right?
I'm going to have Fillier roll something real quick. Okay. He didn't do well, so never mind.
He ain't rolling shit.
So if the bottle is too much of a barrier between the fire and water, what if we just put, like, a piece of wood between them? Like, there would be some time before they would bother each other, maybe. Just kind of section off the bowl.
What if we just pour a little bit of water so that the stone is still, like, peeking up from the water, and then put a leaf on the stone and then light it on fire?
Okay, I like that.
All right, we'll do that then, and I'll light it on fire.
All right, so the symbols do not change when you do this, other than when the fire was not in there, because I'm assuming you removed the leaf that was probably pretty close to being out. The wine, flames on the wine went out.
You found a new leaf.
So that means that fire and water are still not blue?
Correct.
Can we just dump some water on the fire?
I guess at this point, man, I don't know what else to do.
Is that what anybody does?
Yeah, I think I just cup some water and sprinkle it on the fire.
And they turn blue. With that, you hear a loud click coming from the door as it starts to be lifted. And out from underneath the door, you see a bunch of little spider clockworks coming, and they start racing towards you.
Fun.
All right, let's get ready to beat some clockwork ass.
Fillier shoots an arrow, and he says, all right, here we go. Go ahead and roll initiatives.
Aravon got 18.
Four. Let's do
four. I'm not rolling well today.
We got a four total. Thing.
Oh, okay, seven.
Wait, what all are you supposed to add to
dexterity.
It?
Dexterity.
Oh, initiative and dexterity.
No, just your dexterity. Your initiative.
Oh, just dexterity.
Your initiative should be your dexterity. So if you have something different in initiative, then you use that.
Oh,
nope. It's the
same.
Yeah,
I have something different.
Don't you have an ability? Yeah, diamond should be six, right?
Yeah.
Do monks get, like, advantage on their initiative rolls or something? Or am I thinking of something else?
I know there's a feat that gives you some kind of bonus to your initiative, and I think that's the main reason why that box exists on your character sheet. But I would not be surprised if monks had something as well.
Yeah.
Like, am I supposed to be adding dexterity and initiative?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, like your initiative bonus should be your dexterity.
Then.
Oh, I thought you said it rolled a four.
Rolled a four. If I add the three for initiative and the six for dexterity, then it's 13.
I'll have to look at your sheet again. And 13 then?
Yeah, I mean, if that's how that works, then I've been doing initiative all wrong.
Yeah. Well, you're using D&D Beyond. I think the initiative should be automatically filled out, right?
Yeah, it has a plus three. But dexterity says plus six.
Yeah, that's weird. We'll have to figure that one out. All right, so as the door continues to open, the spiders that are coming in, Fillier seems to be taking care of most of those as they're running in. They're mostly an annoyance, but the door, as it gets higher and higher, you start to see the bottom of something spherical and metallic that just seems to be floating in the air. And as it keeps going up higher and higher, you can start to see the makings of, like, one big giant eyeball, like one big giant metallic eyeball. Mm. And as the door goes completely to the top and it's just still sitting there or floating there, it has a bunch of what look like tentacles sticking out of it. And you see it starting to approach all of you.
Oh, boy.
Aravon, you're actually up first. Oh, let me add one more detail.
Oh, it's like a watcher from, like, ESO.
Probably. I haven't played ESO, so it's just like a floating eyeball with tentacles sticking out with eyeballs on those as
well.
Sounds
like some kind of clockwork beholder to me.
That's exactly what it is. It's your turn up first.
So,
Fillier does add something. And he says, oh, crap.
Yeah, oh, crap, indeed. If that thing is as powerful as the real beholder, we're in some deep shit. But how
another dart to the eye.
How far is the beholder from the spiders?
They're running underneath it into the room.
Okay.
So they're just like,
so I could right probably above it. Hit pretty much everything with a shatter.
You could, yeah.
Alright. They will need to make constitution saving throws at disadvantage. I'm assuming they're made of inorganic materials. Take 20 damage or half as right, much on successful saves. At a save DC of 15.
Okay. Yeah. Half as much. Okay. So actually there is one save.
Yeah, it looks like it.
However, you see a bunch of spiders just explode in little metal shards and bits and pieces as this thunder spell echoes through this entire chamber repeatedly. It's very loud. Is that your turn?
I suppose that is my turn, yeah.
My headset is off for a second. Alita, you're up, though.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to go for a...
Oh. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, another dart for the eye, I guess. I don't know how close. I guess you didn't get very close, Aravon. And I don't really know what this thing is. I'm guessing that I don't want to get close to it. I mean, would that be right? Like, if I'm asking Aravon, he seems to know more about it. Do I need to stay back from this thing?
I don't think it really matters what range you're at. It's probably going to fuck us up either way.
Okay, because, I mean, as a monk, I can do a lot more if I'm up close and I have, like, all of my unarmed attacks. So I guess it go in with my vicious spear, like, aim for its eye. Okay, so 17 to hit.
Yes, that's a hit.
Okay, and then got... okay, what's the difference on these? There's a top one that says 1d6 plus 5, and it's got some symbol next to it. And then the one below it is 1d8 plus 5, without the symbol.
So this is on what now?
The vicious spear plus 2.
Okay.
Like, I think the
symbol is probably the vicious effect.
It could also be one-handed or
two-handed. Magic?
Oh. It should just be magic, I think. I think that's a magical weapon.
Well, so then... I would sort of just automatically want to use 2, right? Did more damage. Okay, well,
so yep. 12. It's one-handed or 2.
Okay, so that was 12 damage. And then I want to do the flurry of blows. Okay, so for the unarmed. Oh, that's awful. Okay, the first one's only a 7 to hit.
No.
How about 16?
No.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to try and move back some.
I don't think you can do that without provoking an opportunity attack.
Really?
Yeah, you're within range, right?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I have to get, like, within 5 feet to do the unarmed.
Probably within range of some kind of melee attack.
Well, let's see if I just die then.
Uh-oh.
All right,
well. I don't actually remember too much about beholders, but I think their deadliest attacks are actually their ranged ones. And so I'm saying it'll probably fuck us up either way.
Can I send my animals with Alita?
I think Alita's turn is done, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it would be Diamond's turn now. And I don't know if I've explained the turn stuff too much. Essentially... on one round, everything's happening simultaneously. So if you're sending your stuff, your wolves and hyena in to attack, in the actual narrative of what's going on, they would have rushed up with Alita, even though it's on your turn and it seems separate. The stuff's all happening simultaneously. That's why it's kind of weird to have a bunch of talking in a single round, because there's only about 6 seconds to do that.
Sorry.
No. It's not, I mean, like, character talking, not like players discussing, right? But okay. We're playing out 6 seconds of time. So it's your turn.
All right. So I guess I send my dogs to go attack with Alita.
Okay. This thing is hovering in the air a bit. I think they should be able to reach it.
Okay.
It's not like up way above the ground or anything, but it was up high enough. that you could tell it's floating.
Okay. So, like, should I roll for them to attack?
Sure.
14. Do I add anything to that?
5 on both of these creatures, I believe, which I think that's a hit.
Okay. So one was 14 plus 5, so that's what, 19?
Mm-hmm.
And then I rolled another 14, two 14s in a row. I don't know how that happened, but I swear it did.
So we have 2 damage rolls for your wolf and hyena.
Oh, shit. What's...
I think it's a... With the giant hyena, it's 2d6 plus 3.
It's the same for the wolf. Which one's the 6?
How can they do, like, twice as much damage as me?
2d6 plus 3 for both of them?
Mm-hmm.
So 9 for one, 11 for the other.
Okay. And then for your character, they only get 1 attack each, though.
Right.
Whereas Alita gets several chances to hit. Like, if they miss their attack, they get 0 damage. Whereas on your character, you get several chances. Also chances at critical hits. So that's kind of important. If that helps any Alita.
I just feel puny.
Okay. So I guess I'm going to... like shoot flames at them, I guess. I don't know. The beholder, I guess, is what we're trying to kill first.
Mm-hmm. So like produce flame? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, sorry. My kids came down here and I had to...
No, that's okay.
So I rolled a 10. What do I add to this?
It would be your spell casting attack bonus, which should be like a 6.
Oh, okay. So that should be 6?
I don't know what it is.
It says 5. So 6 is close. So 15?
I'm looking at your sheet because we were just looking at it before. You have a proficiency bonus of 3, wisdom of 3. That should be 6. Where are you getting the proficiency or spell attack bonus? It should be spell casting ability on the 3rd page, I think.
Spell attack bonus on the 3rd page?
Yeah, that should be a 6, not a 5.
Oh.
Either way, that's a miss, unfortunately.
Damn.
Is that your turn then?
I suppose so.
Okay. So, Filir is keeping the spiders at bay for the party, and he's attacking pretty quickly. However, Elite, all of you see that the 3 of the tentacles on this creature kind of move and fixate on Filir, and they both fire at the same time. Or they all fire at the same time.
Not my turn anymore. I can't push him out of the way.
Okay. So,
watch out.
Look out. Watch out for the giant beast that's shooting at you. So the 3 rays are all different in color. Filir himself, you see him. He just like starts melting.
He's melting.
he's not doing good. He failed some of these saves pretty bad. He starts looking super tired. And like there's bubbles coming off from his skin, and it's horrific and vicious and disgusting looking. And he's screaming, loudest scream ever. And it's like being echoed in this hallway, which makes it so much more worse. And that's what happens to him. He still is okay, or still alive, but he's not looking so good. The beholder starts moving in. Alita, you do get an attack of opportunity as this thing doesn't seem to defend itself as it's moving. And I actually would think that the wolves would as well. The beasts, I should say.
Nope.
Okay, is that a 20 dice?
Yep, for your attack.
I think they both missed. One was a 2 and the other one was 11, but I didn't add anything to that.
The 11 would hit.
Okay.
I'll roll we'll resolve Alita in a minute here. Erevan, it's actually your turn.
So
this thing has floated over Alita and is moving into the room, and it doesn't seem to be going up. It's still pretty close to the ground.
So Fleer is still alive, right?
Yeah.
If you want to call it that.
Well, how far away is it from me?
It has moved to be about 40 feet from you.
Okay, well, Erevan is going to move 30 feet towards it, and he's going to put his Hexblade's Curse on it, and then he's going to fire a couple of Eldritch Blasts. So 21 and 23 to hit. I assume those do.
Yep. As your rays hit it and you damage this thing. One of its tentacles reflexively looks and glares at you. You need to roll a reflex, or a, not a reflex save, but a dexterity save.
Ooh, 20 on the die for a total of 23.
You take 6 force damage.
And,
Actually, no, I misread this. You take 12 force damage.
Okay, there we go. Let me calculate my damage real quick. Okay, that is a total of 27 damage, and that is my turn.
Diamond, go ahead, unless Alita's back.
So I think I have this dancing sword, right?
I think so.
What does that thing do? I can't.
You use a bonus action, and you'll toss the sword into the air and speak the command word. When you do this, the sword begins to hover, has 30 feet of movement, and attacks one creature of your choice within 5 feet of it.
Okay. Can I, summon that? Like, can I make that? Can I... What's the activation word?
attack! you get to decide that. In this case, you get to decide that, because I think it was specially made for you.
Oh, okay.
If I remember. Or was that one you picked up? Either way, you get to decide.
Okay. Sword dance. I don't know what the fuck.
Dance. All right. So you're about 40, 45 feet away from the creature as well. So it's not going to actually be able to make it in this turn.
Okay. But there's always next turn.
Yeah. It's in the air.
All right. So it's going to go as close as it can to the thing, I guess.
Okay.
And then I guess I will shoot flames at it again. I don't know.
Go ahead and roll your 20.
15's not going to hit, right?
No. I think you still have your two beasts who could reach it, however.
Oh, yeah. So my beast will attack then. One was 14 naturally, and then a natural 18.
Those are two hits.
Dope. 8 and then plus 3, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So 12 to 11? Yeah, 11 for one. And then the other one is 5 plus 3, 8.
Okay. So I think that was all of your turn, unless you want to move yourself, which I think you might want to a little bit.
I think I want to move back as far as I can. Do I lose concentration if I'm more than 30 feet away from the sword? Okay,
yep,
so
it falls
I have to
the ground.
Have to move in with the sword. Okay, I guess I'll get a little closer so that I'll be within 30 feet of the monster, I guess.
Gotcha.
Even though I don't really want to be, I kind of have to be. Great. Yay. I'm so excited.
Is Alita back yet? Are you there? All right. She's not there. So I'll proceed like it's still alive. And she's got a lot of, she's got an attack of opportunity to roll, her whole turn to roll. Okay. I'm going to kind of randomize who it's focused on this time. All right. The whole creature with its big eye focusing on you, Erevan, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
And you see three of its rays pointing, or tentacles pointing at you.
I think it made it mad.
Yeah, well, that ray that did hit you, you felt it. It came, it hit you like a force. It was trying to push you back. So that's what you were resisting.
I guess he doesn't like being cursed.
With your save there. I don't think so.
I'm here.
Okay. You have an attack of opportunity to roll because it moved out of your area.
Okay, 21 to hit.
That's a hit.
Oh, and I had this idea that I want to jump on top of it. I figure I could get in some good damage there, and that maybe it wouldn't target me because it would also be targeting itself.
Okay, fair enough. Roll your damage for your attack, though.
Okay. That's good. Okay, 13. And then I think I'm going to spend another key point and do the stunning strike. So this will stun it till the end of my next turn if it fails a con saving throw, DC 14.
Okay, you're adding this on to the attack of opportunity?
Yeah. Can I do that? Can I not?
You can. As long as it okay. just triggered with an attack and not on your turn, yes.
It just says when you hit with a melee weapon attack.
Then that's whenever you hit with a melee weapon. It seems to completely resist being stunned.
Okay.
However, you get to run your turn now.
Oh, and
you
now said, it's actually...
Yeah, yeah. We kind of kept the rounds going, so we were making up your turn that we kind of skipped. You said you wanted to jump on it, though.
Yes.
So let's do an acrobatics check to see if you can get up on this thing. The DC is going to be a 17.
Okay. Well, that's a 9. I really can't get up there. What if I pull out my wings to do it?
Okay. Roll it an advantage then to land and stay on it. You get another roll.
Okay, so what does that do? Do I add them together?
No, you roll, take the highest one, which is probably going to be your second roll here. What did you get?
Well, now it's 11. I think that's less than it was last time.
Well, last time was like, what was it last time? 14?
I don't know. I don't even know. What did I say, guys?
I don't know. Do it over. I call do over.
Okay, it's a triple advantage. Go. We forgot. We can't roll the tape back, so roll it again.
There we go. Okay, now I'm at 20.
Okay. I'm going to have to do better at DMing. Actually, remember the rolls. Okay. So, yeah, you do fly up and land on this thing. And you get your attacks you want.
Okay, so now I'm actually attacking. Okay, so...
Unless you just want to hang out on there for a whole turn.
Just ride it like a horse. I kind of want to do that now. Kind of jealous you're riding the beholder.
I don't know. Should I just be like trying to tie up its... what is this called?
The tentacles?
Tentacles. And just tie up its tentacles so it can't move them. I don't know.
Nice. I like this idea. I support this decision to tie up its tentacles.
So looking at the tentacles and trying to decide if you should how to make them out of order, you can see like little pistons and stuff. It's actually they're pretty there's some parts that look fragile, and you probably could spend your turn
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, no, you go ahead.
Well, I have silver forks.
Oh, my God.
Like, stab my silver forks into all of the fragile-looking parts.
Okay. Roll an attack roll, like an unarmed strike. So there are 10 of these tentacles. Each one has a different color on the eye, I should say.
Okay, and do we know what any of those colors mean yet? Or are we just assuming they go with the elements, maybe?
I'm not sure. The three that you saw fire, though, were... one was green, like a light green. And one was... I mean, on Filier, was like a green and a red and a blue one. But like in the picture, there's like the purple, yellow, orange, green. Different
let me guess. Orange, green.
Okay.
Orange and green.
Yeah, I mean, there's a white ray, two of them. I mean, you haven't really put together what all of them do because you haven't seen them all used yet. But none of the three. Well, the green, one of the green ones seemed to be what was melting the filier.
So like acid.
Oh, okay. So that one's pretty bad.
They're all pretty bad. The first one wasn't too bad, but maybe it could have been.
It hasn't happened yet to Alita. Yeah.
What was it?
It was just damaged. The fourth one was just damaged, but to be fair, I also succeeded on the saving throw.
Okay. And what color was the damage?
I think the fourth was probably the white one.
Okay.
I don't actually know. That's just a guess, but it makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, so, I don't know about the green one being acid, but it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, go and roll an attack roll, though, on whichever tentacle we'll decide in a second here.
Okay, so if I rolled a 17, do my forks have
That's a hit.
Cool. Thanks.
I think the damage is normally like a D4 for unarmed stuff. So go ahead and roll a d4 plus your dexterity, because forks are a like a dagger.
Okay, so 9.
Okay, 9 damage. You get more. Are you going to get a different fork out and attack a different one? Is what's going on with your multi attack?
Yeah, if I can do that, let's do it.
Okay. All right, I'll say that was the white one.
Well, I mean, is it like taken out, or do I need to like fork the white one again?
Well, you can attack it again. Just keep stabbing at the same one, sure.
Okay, 19.
That's a hit. So another d4 plus your dexterity.
Okay, so it's 7.
What is your dexterity for?
My dexterity is 6.
Oh my god.
Okay, so...
any more attacks or...
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of going with like the dart thing on this. I don't know.
Okay.
He's 23.
That would be a hit.
7.
Erevan, you see the beholder floating at you, right? We're kind of going to retcon things a little bit. And there's Alita stabbing at one of its rays, one of its tentacles, I should say, as it shoots at you and it does that damage to you. Alita, you can see like where you're stabbing the thing with a fork start to like malfunction and gets really hot.
Erevan.
And then it's
everyone is going to do that thing where
what?
Like he brushes off his shoulder as if like the beam was nothing, and he's going to give Alita a thumbs up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the giant eye in this beholder explodes. I need who's all within 20 feet of Erevan, it? That would be Erevan, Felir, and Alita, definitely. Alita, you actually get to roll this dexterity save at disadvantage because you're standing on it.
But I have wings.
Yes, but you're standing on it. No.
Look at it this way, Alita. At least you're special.
Alita's like stabbing this thing with a fork and it explodes. So roll the dex saves, everybody. I think Diamond's only one far enough away not to have to.
Oh yeah, because I wanted to be only 30 feet away from it, so just enough to control my sword.
Erevan got a 16.
Okay, well that's 20.
You got a 20 on your dexterity save at disadvantage.
Oh, what's the disadvantage?
Oh, what about my animals? Do they need a dex save?
Oh, if they're close, yeah.
Do I like roll again?
They would be. They just attacked, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So, Alita, you roll the d20 again and take the lower result.
Okay, so 16. What are you Ninja's like? You're not taking enough damage.
Yeah, pretty much. You make the save. It's ridiculous.
One was 5, so, one was 17 for the animals.
Okay, the 17 makes it. 36 damage for those who do not make the save. So that would be the one hyena or wolf, your choice. And Felir, he definitely failed his save. Felir dies, actually.
He served his
This thing explodes.
He served his purpose, though.
Go ahead. Yeah. He's down. Like, he's out. The rest of you would take 18 damage. So that'd be Erevan and Alita.
I'll write you a good letter of recommendation.
All right, the hyena dies and the wolf takes 18 damage.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Did I take damage?
Yep.
What was it? I missed it.
18. 18 hit points of damage as this thing explodes into metal shards and bits and pieces and they fly everywhere. That's the session. As Alita stabbing this thing with a fork and making the save.
So. One hell of a thing to stab with your fork. Hope it's tasty.
Been holding those forks for a long time.
Just for this purpose. No.
This was your destiny.
Oh.
Never even like stabbed a single werewolf.
Oh my god. All right, so yeah, Felir is dying. I don't know if you guys want to do anything about him or not, but
is there anything we can do?
A healing potion.
That would probably
I'll give it to him. I'll just force feed it to him.
Okay.
Force feed him my healing potion. Live, damn you.
Well, thanks for playing.
Everyone's going to be like, God damn it. Dying is not part of your contract.
Right. You can't die before the contract is finished. Damn it.
You're not
trying to take the easy way out. How dare you?
But yeah, this could have been a really bad encounter, depending on the ways it chose.
Honestly,
and it chooses it at random. It didn't get the
Yeah, I figured at least one of us is gonna get disintegrated. Yeah.
Well, Filir took the brunt of the first attack, so. And Erevan, you were not gonna feel good unless Alita killed it with her fork.
Probably wouldn't be much better than Filir.
Now can we eat it for dinner since we killed it with a fork?
It's metal.
Well, damn.
We can just give it to the golems. They eat that kind of shit all the time.
Oh, can we scrap it for parts then?
Yes, definitely.
For the dragon.
Oh god. A dragon with those beholder rays out.
Yeah. That'd be pretty dope.